Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. The voice of the veterans for veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing these shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. We've got a great show coming for you, but first we want to thank some of our fine sponsors that continue to make this show possible. I'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and Daphne's hottest new place for chow, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And we'd like to thank all of our sponsors and all of our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So join the discussion on Facebook for more information on the topics of the day. And we're continuing to follow events as they're playing out in the Middle East after what I think everybody would agree is a devastatingly successful military action in Iran by the U.S., and Israel, but 4 weeks into the conflict, we seem to be transitioning into a new phase with Marines moving into the region and talk of the 82nd Airborne one on the way. And so we are joined by our all-star panel of retired Admiral Kent Davis, the CEO of Vets Recover, Army veteran Troy Kurica, I can't say that damn name, a frequent contributor to 1819 News in Alabama. And also on the line with us is, I feel safe now, I have another Marine. Marine veteran Brian Battaglio. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us and thank you for your service. It's a pleasure to have all you guys on here. And since the Admiral's in the studio with me, we'll let him be co-host and he can introduce the other two veterans to board, sir.
Hey, thanks so much, Tom and Cal. It's great to be with you all. So, two of my favorite people in the whole world are on the line with us. Troy Kurica, Army Ranger. Rangers lead the way. He tells me that all the
sometimes.
Time. And Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia. He and I go way back, too. And not only is a great Marine, served as a senior enlisted advisor to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon. The senior enlisted in the entire Department of Defense.
Hey, Marine.
Great guys, both of them.
Yes, awesome, gentlemen. Glad to have you guys on board. Admiral, we were talking earlier this afternoon, and everybody seems to think that this is a little scenario of war that we're involved in here now with Iran is something that started in the last couple of years and all. They don't really realize or stop to think about the war with the Islamists. It didn't just start. This started on the Barbary Coast back in 1776, where do you think the Marine Corps hymn come from? On the shores of Tripoli.
That's right.
You know, why did we have the Navy? Because they were stealing our ships and boarding our ships and selling our all of our Marines, our Navy guys, or the guys that aboard ships, sell them off as slaves. So we formed the Navy.
That's exactly right, Tom. Yeah, then you go back to those days.
The Navy needed a fighting force, so they joined and got the Marines.
That's right. Well over 200 years ago, we were involved in the Middle East and the Arab world with the Barbary pirates, and we've continued in expeditionary missions, especially the Navy Marine Corps.
Right.
And my gosh. You know, a lot of people think what's going on now is something brand new, but I watch the news every night, and I get a sense of deja vu because 1987, I was in the Persian Gulf in the Strait of Hormuz doing what they're talking about now.
Right.
In 1987, right. We engaged in what was called Operation Earnest Will. We were worried about the Strait of Hormuz shutting down, the Iranians being able to fire Scud missiles at oil tankers. I was on the USS Missouri escorting oil tankers in a convoy in and out of the Strait of Hormuz for about 5 months.
Unbelievable. So this is not our first hoorah.
Absolutely not. In fact, it actually went on from there. President Ronald Reagan said, we're not going to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. So we escorted tankers in and out for months and months. And then we took on the Iranian Navy. We sank a good portion of the Iranian Navy in what was called Operation Praying Mantis a few months later because the Iranians mined the Strait of Hormuz, the Persian Gulf. One of our Navy ships, the Samuel Roberts, hit a mine, almost sunk that ship. And Ronald Reagan said, enough is enough. So we basically went to war with Iran in 87 and 88.
Right. This is not something new.
It's not new.
It's a conflict that the United States of America has been fighting since before we were in existence as a country.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And we will, I'm sure, be continuing to engage in expeditionary warfare for a long time.
I think we will, too. Troy, what you got just get us cranked up here with today, this afternoon?
Well, the first thing I need to say is from a young Marine who's a very close friend, Chapman Johnson out there, said, Admiral, fair winds and following seas is what he wanted to say. He met you, and that's the kind of power that Admiral Kent Davis has.
Amen.
Amongst our
hoorah,
amongst
hoorah,
our veteran
yes,
community.
Yes.
Hoorah, so... Chapman, that's for you. Hoorah, hoo-ah to us. You know, I told Robin before I went on the air, Admiral, we've got four Marines on this staff right now, one and one Navy guy. That's fair odds against an Army Ranger, I'm thinking.
Oh, you didn't have a damn chance. No way. Y'all were always first. You always led the way to give the Marines a little R&R. Come on, Troy.
Hey,
that's
Troy, I guess you heard.
For Tom.
I guess you heard, Troy, the Army now, they've activated segments of the 82nd Airborne. Man, those guys.
First Brigade Forward deployed the Command HHC from the Brigade along with the 18th Airborne Corps is forward deployed now. The elements of the Stryker Brigade teams of the 4th Infantry Division and the 25th Infantry Division are moving to theater. Along with, I'm hearing a battalion of Rangers, but they've not designated which ones. So.
All of those units. Those guys are the real deal.
And the thing about it is this. So I've got an article coming out, Tom. I would invite all your listeners to check in. It'll be published on Sunday about why it's so important that Machiavelli, the power of the sword, and diplomacy go hand in hand. And what we're doing now is a shaping operation. I've said this before on your show before. We have shaped the battle space with South America between, and Cuba's coming soon. We have gotten rid of all the influences that were down there of the Chinese and of the Iranian, the IRGC, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, the Hamas and the Hezbollah. Mosques that have been down there are being mitigated now. After we went into Venezuela, we're now down in Ecuador, we're now down in Mexico. We've got special operators on the ground doing things that are shaping this to push China back into another corner. And along with this now, Tom, what we've done is 67% of all oil needs that are coming to China originate out of the Straits of Hormuz. Mm-hmm. We're continuing like the Japanese in 1941. We're taking the Dutch East Indies. We're pushing them into a corner where they're going to have to do something.
Right.
Troy, what a difference a year makes.
Yes.
What a difference.
Okay, guys, we're going to have to go to a hard break here, but we'll be right back. And I'm sure our Marine Sergeant Major there, Brian Pataglia, will have something to add to our list.
Fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
I've been a soldier since I was 19, and I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission for my sins. They gave me one.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 and firing the shots that are heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. If you'd like to listen on demand, you can catch us on the FM Talk 106.5 app and for your smartphone. And my tirade is up on castbox.fm if you want to get your blood pressure up. But it's a pleasure to be back here with Admiral Kent Davis and Army veteran Troy Caraca. And Marine veteran Brian Pataglia. Guys, let's get cranked up again. Brian, what's your position here now?
Well, good evening, everybody. And, you know, I could just add in that this was not or never going to be done in a strictly diplomatic sense. We can see that deterrence had failed, if you will. It's unfortunate that our military, you know, has to be redeployed back to the Middle East after such a short break from Iraq and Afghanistan, but that's why we serve and that's why we sign up. And, you know, it's always to bring the fight to someone else and not to our own our own land.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm just so happy to see a president, a commander-in-chief with the intestinal fortitude when he draws a red line, and the red line is violated or ignored, he takes other actions to still prevent catastrophic events from taking place. And, you know, I'm taken to General Keane. I really have a lot of respect for that guy. He's an analyst on one of the news channels, and you know he said it pretty well, Tom. This regime, they're pathological liars and they're cheaters. It's going to be very, very difficult to take them at their word. So talks, extremely doubtful. And I think that's part of the reason, a big part of the reason why offensive actions have started to take place. And I'm, you know, again, it's unfortunate, but I'm glad to see it. And it's a long time coming. I'm certainly appreciative of Admiral Davis taking us, you know, through a historical timeline of our involvement there over the years. I could tell you that there are many, many Marines who were involved in 83 Beirut bombing that, you know, collapsed that barracks. I lost 7 friends
yes.
there myself.
Right.
There are some happy
yep.
campers right now that, you know, we finally have a commander-in-chief that's doing something about it to put an end to this regime.
Well, you know, that barracks, the amount of deaths of the Marines there was the largest amount of Marines killed in one event, except Iwo Jima.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and the title they carried of peacekeeping force, you know, it just didn't work. It was a mindset that was maybe a little far-fetched and we know now that peace can't always be on the forefront, and that's where we find ourselves at present time.
Yeah, and Sergeant Major and Tom brought up a good point that we've been really engaged in conflict with Iran for decades. It started with the Islamic Revolution. We've been fighting, we've been defending against largely a proxy war that they've engaged in. Even in Iraq, which some of us served in, about 70% of the IED attacks were initiated by the Iranian government.
Right.
And their proxies in Iraq. You look at Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis.
Right.
We have been fighting
a
defensive battle against them for decades. Now it's turned into an offensive battle.
Well, we've had numerous instances, you know, even like for the last 50-something years or so when Carter was in there, where we, you know, we could put our hands on 4,000 or 5,000 people that had been killed over 10 or 15 different instances, and nothing real has been done about it. And it's just really neat to see somebody stand up and make a move and tell them, look, hey, we've had all this we're interested in. Because if we didn't stop them, they have just proven with the firing of those other rockets down to, was it Garcia? Diego Garcia?
Diego Garcia. Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah, with the, you know, with those rockets that they fired down there. We had no idea that they had rockets that had that amount of mileage on them where they could put them. So that doesn't mean that they couldn't reach America.
Yeah, they they've acquired technology that's a lot more scary than 1987 when I was doing convoy duty in the Persian Gulf. And I'm really scared they're going to get a hold of some of the Chinese and Russian technologies like hypersonic missiles. Those are real threats to our fleet.
Yes.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Tom, I wanted to say this. This is Troy. I was wounded a second time in Iraq by an explosive foreign penetrator made and machined in Iran. They were able to track all this outside of Tal Afar. I can tell you this. There is no world where you can tell me that a existing theocracy, along with the IRGC, the MOIS, the Basij, and the Al-Quds forces have power who have already said definitively, we do not recognize the right for Israel to exist, and we will bleed America wherever it is. That is a peaceful way that you can negotiate. And my new article that's coming out again on Sunday with 1819 News will delineate the folly of such thoughts that you could say we can negotiate, because the bottom line is, and Brian, and I know that Kent knows this, inshallah, brother, inshallah, God willing, there is no way you can equate a negotiation and hold it to Western, white, Christian, Judeo, Greco, Roman values that their word means anything in what they do.
Right. You can't trust them. You can't trust them for anything. But, you know, the other thing is that we financially supported them for, you know, for the last 30, 40 years. I mean, they couldn't have done what they did without us releasing all of that money that had been a hole been put on. I mean, you know, what are you going to do when you take pallet loads of money and take it over there to them? I mean, we're talking about billions of dollars. And what did it do? It helped them support all of the things that happened to the Palestinian area, into the Israel area, all over that area. And the money that we had, if we'd have kept that money back, they wouldn't have had it to sustain what they were able to do.
Yeah, Tom, let me say this. I may take some flack for this, but I mean it.
Hey, go ahead.
I hope and pray for the Iranian Persian people that this
that's the bang, is that's settled. The really
I, I've
too.
Met so many Persian people that are wonderful people, and they've suffered under a yoke
sure
for decades. I was hoping, you know, during the Obama administration, there were signs that a softer velvet revolution was going to topple that regime, and it didn't occur. And I think we missed an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We should have supported that. And I hope and pray for the Iranian people that this works out well for them. They get a regime that is 21st century, not
Amen. Yes.
14th century in its mentality.
Yeah. Well, in another area that I was thinking about, too, is that fact that if they've shut down the straits there, we're talking about 60% of China's oil. Well, we don't have to worry about China for a while because they don't have enough ammo, or, you know, oil to even get their fleets running.
Yeah, and you know, I was hoping that they would actually chime in and say, we will help keep the Strait of Hormuz open with our fleet. Well, the Chinese Navy is the largest by numbers in the world now.
Right. Well, our fleet is just about decimated from what we had in the previous year.
Yeah, well, for comparison's sake, in 1987, when we were doing convoy duty through the Strait of Hormuz, the U.S. Navy was almost 600 ships. Well, right now, we're hard-pressed to have 300 ships.
Yes.
So that's a much tougher mission. We say we have 300 ships, but that's not 300 deployable ships.
Right, right.
Only about a quarter of the fleet is deployable on short notice at any given time.
Yeah.
So it's a tough, tough mission. But I'll say this. The Chinese have cooperated with us in the past. Like when the Somali pirate threat was active, Chinese sent ships and helped us keep those sea lanes open.
Right.
So the CIA, a good friend of mine that works at CIA Office of Strategic Studies, and I'll leave it at that, has said that if the Straits of Hormuz are closed for more than 2 weeks, a degradation of almost 50% of the Chinese economy will occur.
Oh, yeah.
So it's inherent upon the Chinese to make it happen. But here's the thing, y'all. This is not a question of how does it affect America? Even though we see speculation, we see regional oil hedges being bet and all that. What matters is this, y'all. We have to finish the job. There's no good outcome unless we defeat that theocracy and that command. Sir, we have to. We absolutely have to.
I agree with you, Troy. You probably agree with me. I don't want to stay there for 20 years like we did in Afghanistan.
No, and then walk out and leave everything we had, and
yeah.
And within 5 minutes, they were back in charge. Totally 5 minutes later. You know?
We need to do it right. You are correct.
All right, guys, we're going to have
to go.
Hold on, Troy. We've got to go to a hard break.
That sounds good.
Okay, and on the other side of the break, more with our veterans on the events in Iran, when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
And Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for veterans, transmitting live on 106.5. And we'd like to thank the fine folks that help us keep this show on the air. And it's the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyers, Colin and Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardbrook and Kimberly, Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's U.S. Eatery, the waterfront restaurant at Yacht Club, number one Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Agency, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And again, we are privileged to be joined on SBN tonight by Admiral Kent Davis, Army veteran Troy Carrico. How do you say it?
Carrico.
Carrico. Carrico. Okay, I'll try to get that right. Oh, country boy here, man. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And Marine veteran Brian Battaglia. And thank you again for joining us. Brian, just give us a little shot on your opinion. Now, you've heard what the other guys were having to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Tom. Well, let me do a separate shout-out because I think it warrants it. This is a special day today. This is National Medal of Honor Day. And it just recognizes all of the Medal of Honor recipients, past and present, that have given so much to our country. And I'm really glad it's a day of celebration in a way. It's a day that we don't place our flags at half mast because we don't necessarily mourn this. We celebrate it and acknowledge their sacrifice, heroism, gallantry, and courage from the service they performed while they were, you know, working in the armed forces.
You know, and it's just real. That being said, you know, this is a real big week here for us. I see that the city of Dothan now is a Purple Heart city, in conjunction with some of the other towns and cities here on the coast, and most all of the cities here in the Mobile and Baldwin County area. But a special thank you to the city of Dothan's leadership and the MOPH chapter 2216. Guys did an awesome job, and we're really, really neat to see all the things that they're doing there.
Go ahead. Hey, and Tom and Sergeant Major, let's not forget that March 29th is Vietnam War Veterans Day.
Right.
It's a day to thank those Vietnam veterans, and you know, they didn't always get a great welcome coming back.
Right.
This is a chance for all Americans to say thank you and welcome home, brother and sister.
And we'll have that flag raising this Saturday morning at 0700 at the battleship. If you'd like to come over and participate, the South Alabama Veterans Council will be more than happy to have you there with us. The P.L. Wilson Detachment will participate in raising our flags and making sure that the colors continue to fly. Brian, go ahead.
God bless America. Yeah, so Tom, I would like to, if it's okay, sort of segue the conversation about Iran toward our own country's security.
Amen.
And just sort of mention, for whatever dialogue that brings, that you know, another concern that I have is the all the unidentified terrorist cells that we have in this country and the activation of them to, you know, proclaim this longstanding mantra of death to America.
Amen.
And, you know, those cells have been around for a long, long time, but what exacerbates these cells are the cities that are declared sanctuary cities within our own borders.
And they're condoning
and it brews training grounds for these terrorists, whether they be activated in a solo sort of posture or in groups. You know, there's been a recent uptick, obviously, of some terrorist activity, but we really have to remain vigilant. The average garden variety American has to be vigilant in, you know, in their daily activity, and to see something, say something, for especially those sanctuary cities where some of our law enforcement are hamstrung with being able to gain access to, you know, conduct their missions with neutralizing this threat.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Sergeant Major, I'm so glad you mentioned that. In my other life outside the military, I worked for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security for 14 years. And Secretary Tom Ridge, the first secretary, used to say, you know, when it comes to the terrorist threat, we have to be right and perfect every single time. And that enemy only has to get it right once.
Right. That is so true.
And I really worry about that internal threat.
I'd like to say this too, sir, not to interrupt you, but I worked in Army counterintelligence. I worked for DIA counterintelligence and intelligence OFCO operations. I can tell you this. There are no real sleeper cells here, per se. I've talked about this to you before, Tom.
Yes, you do.
They are lone wolves. There are thousands of lone wolves that are being right now jihaded on the Internet that might act out, like the Austin shooter recently, like the other events we've had recently. I'm not worried about a congealed effort against us. What I'm more interested in is the one-offs and the lone wolves that might go into a shopping mall and shoot the place up, might go into a sporting event. We have to be vigilant.
Right.
This is the thing that is critical. And I'd like to say another thing. There is a complete disconnect with the American leftist globalist media right now telling us how we're losing the war, how we don't have a position of strength in negotiating. And, oh, by the way, Iran refuted everything we gave them but one of them. There is no way we're going to be able to negotiate. It's time to prep up and get ready. And Admiral, I agree, and Sergeant Major, I agree. I don't want boots on the ground. We may need to have the 82nd and an MEU on at Clark Island, but we have to take strategic points and disrupt their center of gravitas, the Schwerpunkt, as we say in the military, that center of mass that they occupy.
Yeah, I agree with you, Troy. I think there's a way to do this quickly and effectively, and I do salute the president on this. He is using a mixture of soft and hard power right now, and you hear it, the soft power. There apparently are negotiations going on, but it's with a big stick behind his back.
Agreed, and I would say this. He is a man. I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb on this one, sir. Trump knows what he's doing. He knows we don't need the oil out of the Hormuz. Even though the prices are getting high, that can be corrected and overcorrected by infusions from Venezuela and all the things that are getting ready to go down. But what we have to understand is we don't go this far to pull back. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to leave you the wild card for both of you and all three of you to talk about. Israel.
Well, we could talk for hours about that topic.
Thanks, Troy. Really appreciate that, buddy.
By the way,
it's Carrico.
Carrico.
It's Carrico, like Carrico Cares. Carrico.
Well, this country boys still have problems with it, so we don't have to struggle through it. Carrico.
you Marines are tough-headed. You eat those red crayons.
Well, look, man, you're interfering with my red crayons for my main chow and my gold ones for dessert. Come on.
No, I guess my earlier point was kind of revolving around not just the vigilance aspect, but the buffoonery, I believe, has stopped with this commander-in-chief.
Yes.
We're not going to see any more Chinese balloon excursions taking place, and so the flavor of the year is obviously drones and even more so armed drones. That the nature of warfare has obviously changed here. And I believe we now possess the technology to address and counter drone attacks. And I'm very glad, to hear that, because that is a real threat, like the EFP was to us, Troy, overseas. I mean, that is a nasty weapon that can just destroy, the same application with these drones. So our military bases, as vulnerable as they are, we tend to focus our ground protection more so than air. And we were, in fact, sort of behind in technology, and I think we learned a lot with Russia and Ukraine and their drone battle.
Right.
Just exploited some of that intel and technology to where we're using that now within our own borders to counter it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Brian, I'm really happy to see that DOD is doing some cutting-edge research on the drone threat with things like laser defenses and directed energy weapons. There's some cool stuff going on in DARPA and other agencies.
Hard break, good guys. And on the other side of the break, both of our veteran panelists as the attacks on Iran continue, it's when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program, a voice of the veterans for veterans on 106.5 FM, streaming live on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. So that's, we're glad to be with you here tonight. We have a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it, and the fighting spirit to keep it. And again, we are discussing the situation in the Middle East with our panel of heroes. Admiral?
Great discussion, and Troy brought up the issue of Israel. I'll say this. I have worked with the Israeli Defense Force in several capacities, both in DOD and in Homeland Security. Certainly an ally, very capable force. Nice to have an ally like that in this conflict. I will say this as well. This might be a little controversial. It shouldn't be. I'm an America First guy. I say everything that we do should be guided by America's interests, period.
Period.
And I think the president hopefully has taken that mentality. Everything I've seen, he seems to adopt that in this conflict, and I hope that continues.
He certainly does. Brian?
Yeah, I have no argument there at all. I'm an America First kind of guy as well, and that always needs to be on the forefront. There may be other interests or country, but I will say, you know, that to complete this Iranian tasker, we can't do this alone. And we're really going to have to depend on some neighbors and allies. And it's got to be more than just Israel. Someone said, famous, I'm not sure who it was, but, you know, the only thing worse than fighting with an ally is fighting without one. And while we are the most powerful nation in the world and, you know, have, by God, the strongest military, it's going to take more than just USA to take care of this Iran thing.
Right.
And so I hope we can build on the team that our president has built on already.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've got good team members over there, way beyond Israel. Qatar, I lived in Qatar. I was deployed there for months way back in 2006. A capable, small force, definitely an ally. Oh, my gosh, CENTCOM Forward headquarters for the U.S. is located in Doha, Qatar.
Right.
Al Udeid Air Base, which is our air operations center for the Persian Gulf areas in Qatar. The Saudis, Kuwait, those are good allies. People tend to paint with a broad brush. There's a lot of history. We could spend a lot of time on this. The tension between the Arab countries and Persia, Iran, goes back centuries.
Oh,
I
yes.
guarantee
sure.
you the Saudis, the Qataris, Kuwaitis, Bahrain, they're on our side in this. And, of course, they've had a heavy impact from this conflict as well.
Troy?
I spoke on this the last time, Tom. I spent 10 years of my life in the Gulf Arab countries in Southwest Asia. I have broken bread with Kuwaiti ministers of defense. I've done it with the Saudi ministers of defense. I have broken bread as a counterintelligence officer. And I can tell you this. There is a huge disconnect between the Gulf Arab countries and the Arab countries and Persia. They are mortal enemies
yes.
by nature, okay? So what is important to understand is when they barraged all the American institutions and places and emplacements we had out there, from Ali al-Salim to all the places that they launched, they brought unwittingly in the Arab fight against them. And Saudi Arabia has already announced today there will be joint strikes going on with the Arabs, with the Israelis and the Americans.
Yes.
We've already gotten UAE committed to the fight. Here's the thing. I want to say this to you, and I want to back up with what you said. I'm a Christianity first, I'm a family second, and I'm an American third. That's how I roll. I roll this way. I believe in what Christ tells me to do, and I do it. And then my family's there, and then my country. And if anyone wants to doubt my bona fides as a patriot, I got the DD-214 to prove it. Okay, blood, sweat, and tears. I paid for this country.
Right.
Do not forget, this is a struggle about Christianity and the Western way versus this Islamic Muslim Brotherhood / Shia fundamentalism fight that we have to exterminate.
Yeah, and you know, and they've been. We've been Zionists for all of our life. You know, what can we say? If we didn't conform, they were told by the Koran to kill us, and they still believe that.
If you're a Christian, Tom, you cannot understate the importance of Judaism upon our faith. Yes. It's where we go from. My boss is a Jewish carpenter.
Amen.
Amen.
I work for that firm.
Yeah. Troy, no one's ever questioning your bona fides at all.
Absolutely not. No way.
If we were to question one thing, it'd be your decision to join the Army and not the Marines. But
all right, he finally brought it out.
See, we have to devolve into this, don't we? We have to. Hey, Chapman Johnson, my friend who's a Marine, come join me and let us fight.
But, you know, Troy, in the end, Tom and I were talking about this. We talk about each other in the different services, but man, if somebody who's not a veteran talks about any one of those services or a veteran, we will be the first to defend our Army brethren.
Hey, we'll stop fighting each other and take care of that situation.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I heard a rumor that you were Army before you were Navy, sir.
Well, it's even weirder than that. I was Navy first and then Army and then Navy.
He didn't know what the hell he wanted.
But and then I was an Air Force civilian. So
he's confused. He's confused.
Now you all may somewhat disagree with this comment, but you know, back to our allies and those who are going to join us in this thing. I believe we gained some allies when intelligence discovered that these long-range ballistic missiles had some range and depth to them, reach places that intelligence hadn't discovered. You know,
yes.
And I think in one way there were countries that wanted to remain somewhat neutral and not involved at all. But once they seen that, they were danger close. Yeah, it sort of changed their posture.
Sure, it did. Yeah. They didn't have a choice then.
You can't be neutral in this conflict. You can't, because it truly is a global economy, and the global economy is being affected by this.
Absolutely.
And Sergeant Major, I don't know if you've been to Diego Garcia. That is way out in the middle of the Indian Ocean. And for the Iranians to even come close to targeting our assets and the British assets there, that is pretty frightening.
Yeah, it sure is.
Well, I want to say something. Go ahead, Sergeant Major. I'm sorry to interrupt you. What we have is an infusion, and we know this from the intelligence community, of North Korean interaction with the Iranians to help extend the range of the Dofeng missile, which is now the Khorasan 2 missile. So we know that they have been doing this, and the question is this: how could that happen? How could that happen? Well, go back 4 years and look at the derelict administration we had in command.
Amen.
And it
happened
under our own nose.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You're absolutely right, Troy.
We caused our biggest problems.
Now, if there's any good that will come out of this conflict diplomatically, I think it will speed up the Abraham Accords process and further cooperation that this administration has been pushing. I really hope this conflict ends soon. It results in regime change in Iran. We get out of there, and it furthers diplomacy and partnerships,
Amen.
Especially in that part of the world.
Well, there's one question I'd like to ask. We've got about a minute to answer it. Do you guys think that our reserve units will be called up and sent to action?
Well, I will tell you, there are reservists that have been called up already. A lot of them are individuals with specialties.
Okay.
You know, it, it if we get involved in a ground war, we can't go it alone. Right. The total force
they
concept,
will,
yeah. they're going to have to activate
they
National Guard
up.
And Reserve troops.
I know that they've already, here in, on the coast, there's a lot of them already been to Camp Shelby for some special training.
Oh, yeah.
And they're already advised their families that they'll, when they get ready to leave, that they have a code word that they'll utilize, and they can't tell them where they're going yep. or what they're doing because they really won't know.
Yes.
So that's kind of it is.
I would also like to, I'd like to add that this, remember, 60% of the combat service support, 60% of the combat support of all of our active duty units derive from reserve units.
Yes.
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 Absolutely. It is a total force now. The reserve components are an operational reserve
they
now.
They are. Right. They're our backbone, really. Guys, it's been a real pleasure to having all of you on. We will do this again and kind of keep our flow going if you guys are okay with it. But also, I want to thank all of you for being here. And I know you've done some research and all to keep yourself current about what we were talking about tonight. But I want to thank you for keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those that are in harm's way. And God be with them and their families. And may God bless America. Remember.
God bless our troops. There you go. Thank
and
you,
our
Tom.
Troops. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. And catch you on the other
Fair
side.
Fair winds and following seas, brother. Fair
Amen. Amen.
Same here, brother Troy and Brian.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Appreciate you. Hoorah.